From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 5. They weave the spider's web. See the spider's web, and behold in it a most suggestive picture of the hypocrite's religion. It is meant to catch his prey. The spider fattens himself on flies, and the Pharisee has his reward. Foolish persons are easily entrapped by the loud professions of pretenders, and even the more judicious cannot always escape. Philip baptized Simon Magus, whose guileful declaration of faith was soon exploded by the stern rebuke of Peter. Custom, reputation, praise, advancement, and other flies are the small game which hypocrites take in their nets. A spider's web is a marvel of skill. Look at it and admire the cunning hunter's wiles. Is not a deceiver's religion equally wonderful? How does he make so barefaced a lie appear to be a truth? How can he make his tinsel answer so well the purpose of gold? A spider's web comes all from the creature's own bowels. The bee gathers her wax from flowers. The spider sucks no flowers, and yet she spins out her material to any length. Even so, hypocrites find their trust and hope within themselves. Their anchor was forged on their own anvil, and their cable twisted by their own hands. They lay their own foundation and hew out the pillars of their own house, disdaining to be debtors to the sovereign grace of God. But a spider's web is very frail. It is curiously wrought, but not enduringly manufactured. It is no match for the servant's broom or the traveler's staff. The hypocrite needs no battery of Armstrongs to blow his hope to pieces. A mere puff of wind will do it. Hypocritical cobwebs will soon come down when the besom of destruction begins its purifying work, which reminds us of one more thought, namely, that such cobwebs are not to be endured in the Lord's house. He will see to it, and they, and those who spin them, shall be destroyed forever. O my soul, be thou resting on something better than a spider's web. Be the Lord Jesus thine eternal hiding place.
So if you give us our time.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Self-Sacrifice and Service. The opening verses of the chapter exhort the believer to offer themselves as living sacrifices to God. As Dr. Cairns has explained, this is not talking about somehow making atonement for sins or failures in the Christian life. Rather, the believer is to act as a priest unto God, giving himself unreservedly for service to the Lord. The Christian's zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to his understanding of the gospel. In the light of what Christ has done through his suffering and death on the cross, the believer's giving of himself in a life of self-sacrifice and service is only reasonable, for this is well-pleasing to God. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Self-Sacrifice and Service.
Let me burn out for Thee, dear Lord. Let me burn out for Thee. There's an awful lot of professing Christians rusting out. They're like the hulks that litter the shoreline. They're rusting out. That's not the way to live, and I want to tell you, the older you get, the more you realize it's not the way to die. Burn out for God. I look across this congregation, see so many young people, and the world beckons, and the opportunities, as they're called, they all beckon. Listen, I don't know what the Lord has for your life, but I want to tell you, you should live sacrificially unto God. There's my life. Lord, take it. Do whatever you want with it. Put me wherever you want, for whatever reason you want, to do whatever job you want. Take my life. Take it. The only good it can ever do is what it does for God. Doesn't matter what your profession is, what walk of life God puts you in, the only good you will ever do is what your life accomplishes for God. Live sacrificially. That means it can hurt. Oh yes, it hurts. The old flesh doesn't like it. I have no doubt when Brainerd went out to lie in the snow to melt it around him with the passion of his praying, I have no doubt that his flesh didn't like it any more than yours would or mine would. It may hurt, but my, this is the call of God. A believer yielding himself to live offers a holy sacrifice. Very often preachers take this verse to show you if you're going to offer your body to God, your body must be holy. And of course that's true. You can't believe it in sin and say, Lord, take my sin and use it. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. And Romans 6 verse 13 and verse 16 makes it clear also that you're not to yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. So it's true what the preachers tell you in this instance. If you're going to offer your body to God, it must be holy. But that's not the truth that Paul is here telling. What Paul is saying in the text is that a Christian's body presented to God as a sacrifice is holy. And it is acceptable by Jesus Christ. Now, to live this way is the only right thing for a believer to do. The only right thing. Think of it again. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, stop and think. In His mercy, God chose us in Christ. God entered into a covenant of redemption from all eternity with His own dear Son, in which He gave us to Christ, and He appointed Christ to be our Redeemer. In the fullness of time, He sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. He called us. He saved us. He justified us. He received us. He accepted us. He sealed us with His Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. He has done all these things, removing our condemnation and setting us in the embrace of His everlasting love. Now then, look at the mercies of God. And let me reiterate what I've said 1,000 times. It cost God nothing to create this vast universe. No effort, no furrowing of the brows, no worrying would it work out. In His absolute omniscience and by His absolute omnipotence, God spoke and it was done. But when He moved to save the guilty sons of Adam's fallen race, it cost God everything. His Son is the darling of His bosom. And yet God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Now listen. Paul says, I'm beseeching you, look at the mercies of God and tell me, could it be right for a Christian to do anything else than to say, take my life, take my hands, take my feet, take my body, take my brains, take my time, take my talent, take all that I am thine, O Lord. Thine by covenant, thine by blood, I am thine. By the mercies of God, tells us this is the only right thing for a Christian to do. It's also the only reasonable thing. It's your reasonable service. The word reasonable it's a word that means it could be translated intelligent. It's the only intelligent thing to do. In other words, if you as a professing Christian are not living this way, you're not thinking straight. There's a bit of lunacy has entered in. You're not thinking straight. If you think through the gospel, and this is why, and I know I sound like a broken record. Let me get back there, because most of these kids nowadays have never seen a record. So whatever it is that is the modern equivalent to a broken record, it goes on and on and on and on in the one groove. I know I sound like that. But you must constantly be thinking the gospel. Never get away from what we have covered in the first 11 chapters of Romans. If you live to be the age of Methuselah, never think you can graduate beyond those things. These are the things that are to engage your thinking. I've been preaching for 45 years now, almost 45 years. I know that comes as a terrible shock when, to quote my beloved moderator, Dr. Paisley, I only look like 25. We both have very strange mirrors. But after all those years, I have never graduated, if that would be the word, beyond these great central realities of the gospel. And if God were to spare me to preach for another 45 years, I still wouldn't graduate beyond them. Why? Because this is what's to possess my thinking. This is what is supposed to possess your thinking. And listen, when you're thinking through the gospel, the only intelligent reaction and response is say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. Take my life. Use it. For it has no other value. And I want you to understand that I mean that. Listen, it doesn't do any good for you to live 100 years unless you're living them for Christ, glorifying Him. The only good, the only right, the only reasonable thing to do. The logic is inescapable. Read what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now see his logic. When you were a sinner, you were a wholehearted sinner. You were a sinner right down the line. When you were a servant of the devil, you couldn't breathe a breath without serving the devil. You couldn't comb your hair without serving the devil. You never took a step that wasn't in the service of the devil. And that's true whether you were religious or irreligious. Paul is saying when you were a sinner, you were totally depraved, totally dominated, and you served the devil and sin with every ounce that of your energy and your ability. That's not to say you did everything that a sinner could possibly do, because there's another stream of truth in the Bible. It's called common grace, and part of that is that God acts in restraining people from acting out the full wickedness of their inward nature. But now he's saying, now you're saved. You've been set free. You're justified. You're a servant of God and His Christ now. So what do? The intelligent thing is, the logical thing is, you yield your members. You present your body. Take these hands. Now this is very, very, very down to earth and simple. Yielding your body. Take these hands. Let them work for God. Take this brain. Let it work for God. Take these lips. Let them speak for God. Take these feet. Let them walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Simple. Straightforward. It's right. It's reasonable. And it's well pleasing to God. acceptable unto God. As we see as we proceed, the word acceptable arises quickly again in this context. And in both cases, it means well-pleasing. I'm going to anticipate something I'll say in verse 2, but I'll not say it tonight. Listen very carefully. When you present your body to Christ, it is well-pleasing to Him. And the result is you will have an experience of His will that will be well-pleasing to you. I get a little worried when people get up and say all that they've given up to be in the service of Christ. I gave this up, I gave that up, I gave the other thing up. I mentioned a brilliant young doctor there. If you were to talk to him, he'd say, I didn't give anything up. I was the one who benefited. And that's always the case, because the happiest place in the world, as and I know I'm contradicting myself, I said I wouldn't get into this tonight, but I'll anticipate what I'm going to say. The happiest place in the world for a Christian is in the dead center of the will of God. That's the happiest place in the world. You mightn't have any money. You mightn't even have good health. You mightn't have too many friends. But if you're in the dead center of the will of God, that's the happiest place in the world for a Christian, and you wouldn't be anywhere else. But it starts with this. You don't get there without the faithful response to the gospel, a life that's yielded in sacrifice to God. It's well-pleasing to Him. I want to encourage you tonight. There are some professing Christians who have big ideas about themselves, and this passage warns us about them. They're not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But I have to say that much more common among God's people is a part of that text that most people never think about, that there are people who ought to think of themselves in a certain way and they can't do it. There are Christians who can never get over their past, their failures. The devil tells them, you feel the Lord once, you're finished. You find it, dare I say it, especially in a church like this. I said to Mr. Bream, when Meredith sat down, I said, there should be a law against having all these talents in one body. I'm going to cut your head off and put it in mine. Not your hair, but your head. And try and get a bit of that talent. You can get overwhelmed. We have people here who have doctorates in a variety of fields because they're brilliant in those fields. People who have skills and abilities and talents that when a wee fellow like myself would come from Northern Ireland, he'd look and say, what doest thou here, Elijah? What on earth am I doing here? I have always told these folk that I am the proof that God has a sense of humor and that I'm God's laugh at all these brilliant people. He sends an ignorant Irishman to preach the gospel to you. All that to say, it's very easy to be overwhelmed. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other thing, I don't have this talent, I don't have that gift, I don't have the other ability. So what? Who made you? Who directed the level of your IQ? Who gave the talents or withheld them? Did he not know what he was doing? Did he make a mistake in what he was doing? No, sir. He says, you take your body, what it is and as it is, you give it to me, and God is as well pleased with the body that the meanest Christian here offers him as he was with the body of the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or Martin Luther or John Calvin or Jonathan Edwards or D.L. Moody or any other great man. You can give nothing more than yourself. But be assured, God is well pleased with it. And that will lead you to the day when He will express that. And He will say, "Well done. Well done. You weren't a genius. The world never heard of you. Never missed you when you died. But your sacrifice was well pleasing to me. Well done. And welcome home. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.